ABC Radio Darwin.
Yes, it's our big weather week here on ABC Radio Darwin. And of course, what's the first thing that happens when a cyclone hits? Well, something that we really have to be prepared for is losing power. That's why it's so important to have canned and non-perishable food items in your cyclone kit, enough to feed your family for at least 3 days. Now, you might think that means baked beans, cans of tuna and UHT milk, but we can do better than that. Surely, if you've got some tips, let me know. Text in 0487991057. Someone has texted, g'day, Anne, to say water, water, first and most important. Such a good point, Anne. Also, powdered milk, tinned cream, dried veggies, instant potato, dried fruits. All of these go good with your tinned fish. We'll see if Linton Tapp agrees. Hello, Linton.
How are you, Liz?
Does Anne sound like she's got it covered? Could you whip up something delicious from that that pantry list?
Yeah, Anne does have it covered. Can I just pick up on her water as well? So important. I think the rough rule is we could go about 70 days without food, but only 72 hours without water. So super important to keep. If you look, it's not very often that a cyclone lands on our doorstep without us knowing. So being prepared is crucial, and water is one of those hero ingredients. So absolutely agree with Anne on that. Good suggestion.
Oh, I like that you've heroed the water in the cyclone kit. It's the hero of the dish. Do you know what? I was during Cyclone Marcus, we had the power went out in a lot of places, and then there was a boil water alert. And so if you were out without power, you couldn't boil your water. So if you didn't have enough clean drinking water, you were a bit stuffed. I knew a lot of people who weren't prepared with water. So it is so super important.
We'd take it for granted, water, clean running potable water these days. But when you have to, survive off it, cook with it, potentially clean with it, you know, it suddenly realise how much you need. You know, at a bare minimum, I think it's about 5 litres per person per day in survival mode.
So, yes, water is the hero of your cyclone kit. Have you been through a cyclone in the top end, Linton?
Yes, but not to the extent, you know, being on a cattle station when I did experience cyclones throughout the years, we never got hit in the direct centre or the eye of it. We always got the sort of the big monsoonal rains and a few gusts come through, but eventually we were cut off from all our supplies. So, you know, we'd be living off the what you just mentioned, the tin tuna and tin baked beans and things like that. That were our staples through a cyclone.
Canned food, it doesn't have a great reputation, but do chefs use it? Like, does it have a place in, you know, gourmet cooking?
Yeah, I think it does. Italian cooking, the sugos and tin baby Roma tomatoes, tin cherry tomatoes, you're not going to get that, you know, from any other product like a fresh tomato. So you sort of have to use them if you want a certain experience. And there are other, you know, like there's pastes and spices. You know, it's really the foundation that we use tin stuff in to add that sort of that particular flavour, which may be coming from, you know, the history of a cuisine, or it may be, you know, the hero ingredient. So there are there are places where tin food's used. Mm. You know, in Mexican cuisine, there's a lot of tin food used.
And I'm thinking too, like putting tin tuna aside, but tin fish would be fairly common in a lot of cuisines, wouldn't it?
Yeah, especially, you know, when you look at the countries in the Northern Hemisphere that go through long periods of winter and very cold, frozen water, hard to get outside, a lot of preserved foods, and then in that sense, a lot of preserved fish. You know, there's the famous one, I think, in Sweden, the rotten fish, you know, where it's just enough salt to preserve it, not to kill you, but not enough to stop some putrefaction. So there's lots of examples of cured fish around the world, and especially from those sort of those European countries where it gets extremely cold.
I can remember travelling in Portugal and the different little delicatessens having so many different cans of, like even the cans look like works of art in themselves, the tinned fish in places like that. Tuna is probably a good ingredient in the cyclone kit. Is that something that you would stock up on?
I do. We always have tin tuna in our pantry for a wide number of ingredients. But one I think that would be really good in a cyclone kit to break away from the monotony of baked beans or spaghetti, but also pay homage to the tin tuna, because I do think, you know, it's so nutritious, it's very good for you, and it's a low GI product, so you're going to stay fuller for longer. So you're not going to, you know, in an emergency situation, you don't want to eat all your supplies within the day. So something like tuna, along with the salad that I would make, is all from a tin or all from a jar, but it's exceptional. So tin tuna mixed with some drained tin chickpeas, mixed with some pickled onions and some extra virgin olive oil, and use some pickling onion juice through that, mix it all up, and that's a fantastic salad that's going to keep you full of all the micronutrients that you need, and also breaks the monotony of, you know, the everyday sort of survival kit.
There's some other nice stuff that you can get that's sort of pickled too, isn't there, that we often don't think about? We talk about the tin stuff, but there's lots of pickled stuff that you could just chuck in your cyclone kit, isn't there?
Absolutely. I would suggest anyone who's, you know, getting ready for cyclone season to head in those middle aisles of the supermarket and do some browsing, because it's really limitless what you can get in there these days. You know, I'd recommend, you know, yes, we've all been told to put UHT milk in our cyclone kits, but I think, you know, be adventurous. There's soy milk, there's macadamia milk, there's oat milk now. Put some of that in there, and, you know, put a box of cereal, get some shelf stable, or just buy some apple juice from the shelf or some orange juice, buy a bag of oats, and, you know, you soak them overnight and you've got birch or muesli. You can add some honey to the top of that, and, you know, nothing's from the fridge. It's very nutritious and healthy for you, and extremely cheap and filling. So, you know, that's another great example of something that's all shelf stable, safe to keep in your kit for months, if not years, but very good for you and also tasty.
You could do a bit of a cheese platter on night one without power, couldn't you? Because the cheese has been in the fridge and then the fridge is out, so you got to eat the cheese, and you've got some crackers, they're still okay, they haven't, you know, they haven't gotten soggy in the rain, and then you've got maybe your pickled onions, some dill pickle, maybe some olives, sun-dried tomatoes as well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. All the cured dairies, cheese, yogurt, you know, a great analogy when I was traveling through one of the famous, you know, artisanal cheese countries, and the cheesemonger said, cheese is like a car. You only put it away in the fridge when you're not going to drive it or use it for a long time. So you can bring it out, it's cultured, as long as it's relatively cool or in the shade, going to last for a couple of days easily, Liz.
Okay, so we're having a cheese platter, a little antipasto platter on day one.
Yep.
And then we've got our chickpea tuna and pickled onion salad to get into the next night. Sounds
next
like a
night,
plan.
You've got some birch and muesli there every morning to have for breakfast. And yogurt also lasts every day. The other thing, you know, I'm going to assume everyone has a little Bunsen burner or a barbecue they can access, but this will also, you know, it'll ring some bells and work for you even if you couldn't heat it up. And once again, in the middle aisles, you can buy all these types of cooked Asian noodles now, ready to go from the packet. You're meant to heat them up, but really simply you could just soak them in water or rinse them off, and then you could make a lovely soy sauce and ketchup manis dressing with some minced garlic or something like that, and stir that through the noodles, and you've got yourself a great, simple, shelf-stable, cyclone kit ready Asian noodles.
Do you
ready
know
to
what?
Go.
I've got a cupboard full of those noodles.
Because who doesn't? Yeah.
Because, no, but the reason I do is because of the pandemic buying when there was no pasta on the shelves. And so I went to that aisle and I got all of the udon noodles and soba noodles and all of the Japanese noodles. So they'll do me well for the cyclone kit. Yeah.
You know, there's lots and lots of different things that you can do. Another great thing to keep in your cyclone kit is the mayo from the centre aisles. You know, it's shelf stable, it's treated like UHT milk. And, you know, how good would be some crackers with some tuna or some smashed avo or something like that with a little bit of mayo on top.
I'm looking forward to this cyclone. All right, some great tips to get us started. Linton, thank you so much.
My absolute pleasure, Liz. Have a lovely day.
We'll catch you in a few weeks' time. Linton Tapp, former master chef and author of Outback Pantry. Some tips to get you started with your cyclone kit. You do not need to rely on baked beans. Have a tin of them there if you like them, but otherwise there are so many options. The middle aisles, the magical place to go.